Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, and I want Him to be yours. He can be. In fact, He came to be. The Word of God tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And like I've said many times before in this program, if you started the day in the wrong category, if you started the day in the lost category, by the grace of God, and that's the only way it'll happen, by the grace of God, you can end it in the right category, in the saved category. Boy, I'm glad you're here. Debbie and I are excited about the program, the message I have. Debbie's excited about the song she's going to do. And oh, we're just excited, friend, and thankful. We're humbled. Do you hear me? We are humbled that you have given us this part of your day, your time. You've invested it, and that's what we want this time to be, an investment, friend, investment for eternity, really. Really, we do. Well, I've opened my Bible to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, right after 1 Peter, right before the book of 1 John. And I'm going to be looking at verses, I'll start reading probably about verse 12 and share the little message that God has laid on my heart. And I trust that it'll be a blessing. Oh, I so much want it to be a blessing, so much want it to bring glory to God. But before I do that, here's Debbie, the song entitled, I Found the Answer. And she's going to tell us that she found it at an altar of prayer. That's where we get them. Hey, listen, friend. You pray, I'll pray. We'll have a good time in the Lord.
I was searching for the meaning of life. All I had was struggles and strife. Days were long, in my heart no song. Then I knelt at an altar of prayer, there I found the answer.
Listen, I may not be able to give you many answers, but I can point you, thank God, I can point you to the one that can. And listen, that's what I want to do today. I'm going to point you to the Word of God. Do you hear me? I am going to point you to the Word of God. Doesn't matter what the problem is. Doesn't matter what the issue is. Doesn't matter who you are. God has given us something, friend, better than experience, better than a man's word. He has given us the Word of Almighty God. And I'll tell you what, let me say it again. It just doesn't get any better than that. I'm going to talk to you today just a little while. I'm going to use this thought about something better. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and following, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." Paul was talking about the things that precede this and the verses that came before, verses 1 through 11. But he's also going to tell us more things on doubt. I believe it also includes the first letter that he wrote, the first epistle that he has written, but specifically what he had recorded here in chapter 1 before he starts verse 12. He said, "Yea, I think it meet or important or necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle or this body and this life, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor," in other words, I'll do my best, "to that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables or myths when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of His majesty." Can you imagine being on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John to see Jesus speaking with Moses and Elias and hearing God the Father speak? He said, "For He," speaking of Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him." Now watch this phrase, "from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." But He said, "Now wait just a minute. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." I want you to get that. Paul said, or Peter said, look, we were with Him. We heard these things. We saw these things. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But he said, wait just a minute. We've got something better than that. We've got a word that's more sure than what I saw with my own eyes. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing testimony Peter has given. He said, "Whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, I want you to pay attention to something in verse 19. He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." I'm going to talk to you a little while today. I've already told you what my text is. It is something better. Now, I know this hit in the book of Hebrews. The epistle to the Hebrews is a great book, a phenomenal epistle. And the only reason I mention it is one of the key words in the book of Hebrews is better. But today I'm going to talk to you out of Peter's writings, out of this portion of the Word of God, about something better. And oh, listen, friend, this is an amazing testimony. It's an amazing record that God has decided through the inspiration of the Spirit of God to cause Peter to write this record so that it would be preserved, friend, from the day that he put pen to parchment to this day and forever. How wonderful that is. So I want you to think with me, if you will, verses 12, 13, and 14 again. And listen to what Peter said. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in them. Yeah, I think it meet or significant or important, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And why, Peter? Why do you want to do that? He said, "Knowing knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed you. I want you to think with me about Peter's desire. Peter's desire was for people, for God's people, those saints that were scattered abroad, to know something that is eternal, to know, friend, truth. And he said, listen, he said, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I am in this body, I'm going to do my best to stir you up, to stir your memory, to stir your mind, to point you towards the right things, the eternal things, the Word of God things. And listen, he said, I've got good news. I've got something better for you. Now listen, I think this is amazing. It tells me, this testimony does, this portion of Scripture, much about Peter, the emphasis that he put on the Word of God. And you know what Peter did? He said, listen, I want to tell it to you over again. I like that song. Sing it to me over again and again. Wonderful words of life. Isn't it amazing? Those of us that are saved, we never tire of that good news message, that gospel of the grace of God, that account of the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus. We never tire of that. We never tire of the Christmas story. We never tire of the Easter story. We never tire of this blessed old book we call the Word of God. How wonderful that it is, and how grateful we ought to be that God has given it to us. That Paul Peter said, listen, I want you to remember these things. I want you to be stirred up by it. And look, I'm trying to do that while I'm living and breathing, but God has told me, He's shown me that I'm going to die. I'm not going to be here long. Shortly, I'm going to lay off this tabernacle. So what am I going to do? Oh God, maybe he was praying, help me to do something that would stir these people's memory, these people's memory up. And you know what? God heard his prayer. And Peter's going to tell us what God did and how he answered that. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you, repetition is a good thing. I mean to tell you, constant repetition of a thing is a good thing. We ought to repeat things. We ought to reread things. We ought to revisit things, especially about the Word of God and eternal things, until they become a part of us. Peter wanted his people, God's people, that is, to remember. And can I tell you, one of the reasons that America is in the sad shape that she's in today, it's because we've forgotten. If you remember, God told a Jeshurun, and I'd like to know more about why he gave Israel the name Jeshurun. I need to do a little research and study about that. But he said, Jeshurun has waxen fat, and they have forgotten the Lord. That's what's happened to America. We don't think we need Him. We don't think that He's important. We don't think that He needs to be involved in our life. Hey, friend, can I tell you, we wouldn't have life if it wasn't for God Almighty. And listen to what Peter said. He said, shortly, he said, I've got to lay down this tabernacle. Hey, he doesn't seem to be real disturbed here. But listen, this man knew what Jesus had done. He knew what the resurrection of Christ did to remove the fear of death for Peter. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I need to grow in this area. I don't know about you. Peter knew from the Lord the Word of grace would be available for him and to him to die by when that time came. Hey, listen what Peter said, 1 Peter 5:10, about God. He's the God of all grace. But Peter's desire was for people to know, God's people to know and to remember. Well, let's move on. My time's running on. He said in verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Oh, listen, Peter knew he was going to die. I just made reference of that. I mean, God had told him, even in one place said, now listen, Peter, when you get old, somebody will have to lead you about. I mean to tell you, you won't have freedom. You won't have the ability to make your own choices. But all Peter knew, let me say it again, from the words of the Lord, from the Lord's own Word, if you allow me to say it that way, he would be given dying grace when it come time for him to die. And oh, listen, friend, listen. He called his departure a decease. I believe Peter was thinking about that eyewitness, that his eyewitness through the account that he's getting ready to tell us about that he was privy to be a part of. That's the word that Luke says, maybe Matthew says. That Jesus used or referred to Jesus' death, his departure, his decease. Oh, friend, I'll tell you, we need to let the Word of God have its proper effect on us. But let's move on. Let's move on. Listen to what he said in verses 16, 17, and 18. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables or myths when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Listen, when Jesus was just, oh, I don't know, maybe about six months from the time of His crucifixion. And you know what? They were up at Caesarea Philippi. And while they were there, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into Mount Hermon, into an exceedingly high mountain. There, they have the privilege to be eyewitnesses of the transformation of Jesus. They had the privilege of seeing, friend, Him in His glory, in all that that was on the inside of Him. And Peter said, "Listen, friend, I want you to know something. How we're not following myths when we tell you about the majesty of Jesus. How but he said we were there and we saw these things. We're not telling you myths when we tell you the truth about this one who is God manifest in the flesh." Hey, Peter was saying, let me tell you something. He did still the storm. He did calm the waves. He did walk upon the water. He did feed multitudes. He did, friend, cast out demons. He did cleanse the leper. He did give sight to the blind. He did heal the sick of all sorts. He made the lame to walk. He put Malchus's ear back on. He did die. He was buried. He did rise from the grave. Hey, friend, he did ascend back to the Father. Peter is saying, I want you to know something. We were eyewitnesses of that. We were there when we saw the kingdom in miniature. Me and James and John represent the living, the church. Moses and Elijah represented those of the Old Testament that had died, representing the law and the prophets. But there was Jesus in all of His glory. Hallelujah. That His flesh kept in. And Peter said, what an experience it was. He said, "For we have not received from God the Father, for He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came a voice, such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And Peter goes on to say, "And this voice which we heard from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Peter said, listen, you should have been there. I wonder if him and James and John had trouble keeping that in. I wonder if they had a problem not telling the other disciples, apostles, about what went on the Mount of Transfiguration. But Jesus said, listen, don't tell it until after I die. Don't tell it until after I rise. But all Peter tells us here, that he saw Jesus in His glory. Hallelujah. Bless God when that glory just broke out of Him. There wasn't a sun or a light shining on Him. He was not reflecting light. He is light, and His glory that He had veiled in that body that He had, and it broke forth. But all my time's running out. I got to get to verse 19. He said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do take you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you what. Listen, there's something better than experience. Now look, let me tell you partially why this message is. We live in a day, and it's continuing, when men and women of all sorts, I believe they're good people, I believe they're saved people, that want to put their, listen now, listen closely, their experience above the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, friend, we've always, listen, mark it, let me emphasize it, let me repeat it, let me announce it, the Word of God is always to be above our experience. And listen to me, I'm here to help you today, not hurt you, though truth may hurt. We never, let me say it again and again, we never, never, never test the Word of God by our experience. But our experience must be tested by the Word of God. 1 John 4:1 says this. He said, try the spirits. Hey, listen, friend, you know how we try the spirits? And there are many spirits that are gone out into this world. Every spirit is not of God. The Word of God says, hey, we try it by the unadulterated, irrefutable, inerrant, eternal Word of God that never changes because time comes and goes, never changes because experiences change, never changes because men change. Hey, this Word that God has given us is forever settled in heaven. And Peter, how many of you all would agree that Peter had a great experience? Listen now, he made that declaration in verses 16, 17, and 18. But when he comes to verse 19 and on down through 20 and 21, he makes a decree. Listen, friend, he's authenticating something. He's declaring that this is expected. This is demanded. It's not a choice. He said, look, I want you to know something. We've got something better than experience. We've got the Word of God, the divinely inspired, written Word of God. And when it's rightly divided, it'll lead us and it'll guide us. I bless God into all truth. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you, I like experiencing things. I believe Peter was excited about experiencing what he and James and John did on Mount Hermon. But you know what Peter did? Because he was a man of God. Because he loved that Word of God. You know what he did? He threw man back to the Word of God. He said, now experience without saying it. It's a precious thing. It's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you what. Listen, our memory fades. I mean to tell you, you can tell something to one person and another passes it on verbally. And it's amazing how it changes over time. But listen to what God did. God inspired holy men of God to write the Word of God. They were moved along by the Spirit of God. Listen, friend, what is given us in this Word is inspired. We can count on it. What we find, it's true. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, it happened exactly like the Word of God says it did. Listen, it happened where the Word of God says it did. How the Word of God says it did. Why the Word of God said it did. When the Word of God said it did. And Peter said, hey, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to make this decree. I want you to know experiences are good, but you've got to try them by the Word of God. And the Word of God, friend, is that which, listen, is truth, that which is lie. Hey, listen, friend, when Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, he said, now wait just a minute, y'all got many problems, but let me tell you what. He said, all of you have got a prophecy. All of you have got a word. Hey, you know what Paul was saying to the Corinthian church? Listen, you can't all be right. And the place to test our experience is the unadulterated, clearly written, presented, and preserved Word of of God. You know, they're sad today, but a lot of people set aside the Word of God in favor of, quote, visions or some dubious sort of experience. I mean, voices that they say they hear of unknown origin, maybe. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's a dangerous practice. Do you hear that? Because even Satan himself is able to deceive. Hey, friend, I'll tell you what we've got. We've got God's written Word. That's all we need. And that's what Peter is saying. And friend, listen, it's supernatural. It's better than any personal experience anybody will have. Look, there's nothing wrong with experience. Everybody heard me say that, say amen. But let me be clear with you. Our experience must match up with the Word of God. It must be tested by the Word of God. And if it doesn't, we need to get rid of the experience and hold on to the Word of God. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, we've got something better than what man can muster up, what experience can give us, what a, quote, miracle, unquote, can do. We've got the miraculous, eternal, unalterable Word of God. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.